You're listening to Central Time. I'm Shereen Seward in for Rob Ferret. Now, Taylor Swift's Eras Tour has been taking the world by storm since March. Fans across the U.S. shelled out to see the singer-songwriter, who hasn't done a stadium tour since 2018. Face value tickets ran from roughly $50 to $500, but resale tickets famously sold for thousands of dollars on platforms like StubHub. Well, Swifties aren't the only ones feeling the pocketbook pinch. Ticket prices for live entertainment events are up across the board, from football games to theme park admissions. And travel costs are up, too, making it even more expensive to travel out of state for an amusement park or to see your favorite band play live. Our next guest wrote a piece about this funflation phenomenon and how it's affecting the way Americans are, well, having fun. We want to hear from you, too, at 800-642-1234. Have the high costs of travel, theme parks, and concert tickets caused you to change your plans or scale back on recreation this year? When do you think it's worth it to save up and shell out for an expensive live performance or a big trip? Did you make it out to a major show or event this year, and did you think it was worth it or not? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Robbie Whelan is a reporter at the Wall Street Journal, where he covers the Walt Disney Company and the business of Hollywood. Robbie, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me, Shereen.
A lot of analysts are talking about the rise of what they call the experience economy. So what is that exactly, and how does it play into the funflation phenomenon?
Yeah, well, the experience economy is anything that you have to show up for in person. So that can mean anything from a live concert to a sporting event, even going to a zoo or a an off-Broadway show. And these events have gotten really, really in demand over the last 2 years, to an extent that has really even surprised the people who put them on and the owners of these theme parks. And what that means is that demand's through the roof, so prices are through the roof as well.
Why do you think there is such a big appetite for live entertainment right now? What plays into that?
There's a couple factors that I've come across in my own reporting on this topic. One is that we had, between a year and a half or 3 years, depending on where you lived in America, of really limited options during the pandemic. You were basically glued to your couch if you wanted entertainment. And we're still definitely in sort of the middle of that pent-up demand kind of unwinding. So for people who got really frustrated with not being able to go out and experience live entertainment and fun experiences with their friends and family because they were too worried about contracting COVID or spreading COVID, those folks are out there en masse enjoying themselves. That's one thing. Another thing is just kind of the nature of the entertainment business, which has been that there's a lot of competition. There's more streaming services available than I can count on both hands. And, a lot of the media companies that sort of produce the entertainment that we consume every day have really shifted to this mode where they're investing a lot of money and a lot of effort in producing content for streaming. And when what you've got is kind of this race to sort of arm up with as much content as possible, sometimes it's not very good. Sometimes people get tired of seeing the same sorts of shows over and over again, and they start looking for something new. And I think that a lot of American consumers have found that in the return of live entertainment.
You cover Disney for the Wall Street Journal. Have their prices gone up at their parks?
Yeah, Disney, I think, is on their third or fourth round of ticket price increases in the last year and a half. But when you look at the numbers on tickets, some of them are kind of eye-popping. I think we've got close to $200 a day on peak days for a single-day pass to Walt Disney World in Orlando, which is sort of startling when you think about the fact that 5 or 6 years ago it was closer to $100. But more important than I think the sticker shock of the ticket prices is that Disney and a few of its competitors in the theme park business have added all these add-ons, usually in the form of smartphone apps, that kind of have become essential to enjoying your day at a Disney theme park. And what I mean by that is there's something called Genie Plus. There's another thing called Individual Lightning Lane. And these are tools that, visitors to a theme park get to help them, wait in a shorter line to get on their favorite ride or to skip a line altogether. And it's gotten to the point at a lot of these places where I have two small kids. When I go to Disney, I feel like I spend, I go to Disneyland, I feel like I spend most of the day waiting in line. And it sort of if I didn't have these tools, which cost an extra $10 or $20, or sometimes even as high as $30 or $40 for individual lightning lane, if I didn't have them, my day would be really lousy. And so in order to have a really great time at these parks, you kind of need to shell out for more additional items. And that's on top of the rising prices for plane tickets to get to the parks, hotels to stay at the end of the day, food that's sold inside the parks as well, which are also just sort of a victim of generalized inflation pressure.
Have those higher prices and add-ons affected attendance, or are people still going?
People are still going, as far as we know. And, you know, there has been some – well, that's a complicated question, because during the pandemic, almost every theme park saw attendance fall to zero for a certain period of time. Since they've reopened, we've seen fewer, you know, thinner crowds in general. You know, capacity is not being reached as often as it once was. But that's kind of by design. I think a lot of theme park operators, especially Disney, have realized that if you sort of limit the number of people, you know, limit the size of the crowds, then people have a better time and they're more willing to kind of make in-park purchases, that which are really kind of the bread and butter of that business and how it works. However, we have seen that over the summer, during peak season at Walt Disney World, which is to say around July 4th weekend, crowds had really thinned out in a way that was unexpected. So we are seeing some sticker shock affecting it, but in general, I would say theme park crowds are down and thinner by design.
Wall Street Journal reporter Robbie Whalen is our guest today to talk about funflation. The number to call to join in is 800-632-1234. What are we seeing with live sports when it comes to this?
Live sports are getting more expensive, but on that side of things, my impression is that that's one of these businesses where the cost of fund is rising because the secondary market has really grown like crazy. And we look at things like I'm a season ticket holder here in Los Angeles with the LAFC MLS soccer team, and we saw phenomena like Messi, Leo Messi joining the Inter Miami team, which was a huge jolt to that franchise. But also what it meant was suddenly every time that team played somewhere, ticket prices, you know, accelerated and they rose really fast, because people just simply wanted to see Leo Messi play for his regular team in the U.S. for the first time. So, and what that meant was obviously the teams couldn't raise prices just because they had Messi coming to town, but the secondary market certainly could. And so we saw tickets going for thousands of dollars a piece. But in general, the trend in sports is just higher portion of people's wallet being spent on sporting events and ticket prices creeping up at a fairly fast pace.
Robbie Whalen is a reporter at the Wall Street Journal, where he covers the Walt Disney Company and the business of Hollywood. He's here with us to talk about his latest piece on funflation and why live entertainment is getting so expensive. We want to hear what you think at 800-642-1234. Are you one of the 60% of Americans who are cutting back on entertainment spending lately? And when it's time to cut back, what are the first things to go for you? What activities stay in the budget no matter what? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation coming up next on Central Time. To Central Time, I'm Shereen Seward in for Rob Ferret. We continue our talk with Wall Street Journal reporter Robbie Whalen about funflation and what we're seeing now that live entertainment costs are up. You can join in 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Tom is on the phone with us from Madison. Hi, Tom. Thanks for calling.
Good afternoon. Certainly, all of these junk fees that are out there in many, many industries are a certain call for a lot of regulation to come about. But last summer, my girlfriend and I took a delayed trip due to COVID to Alaska, and we enjoyed ourselves a great deal. It was more than we expected, but I'd go back. But we have cut a lot of live music, and the main reason for that is Ticketmaster, with all of their legion of fees upon fees upon fees. And I've really decided that even if it's the second coming of Jesus Christ, if Ticketmaster is involved, I'm not going to be there.
Tom, thank you for calling. I'm sorry to laugh. That just made me laugh, though. Robbie, what do you think about what Tom said?
Thanks for your comments, Tom. I'm sorry that it's gotten so hard for you to afford the fees on those tickets. I would say that, yeah, junk fees are a very big issue in the entertainment world right now, and there's a lot of backlash, and certainly the sort of dearth of competition in the ticket pricing services and distribution services for tickets is a part of that equation. But I would say that even before you get to the level of paying a fee, a ticket fee or whatever kind of fee they come up with to tack onto your price, the price of a live concert ticket in the last year rose to about $120, which I think was about 17% higher than the previous year. There's just a incredible embarrassment of riches in the entertainment world. There's these global acts, everything from K-pop to Latin trap of Bad Bunny, the highest selling concert tour of the last year, to Beyonce and Taylor Swift. And it kind of just, it trickles down from there. And when you have these kind of like huge spectacles touring the country pretty much constantly, it costs a lot to put on those tours. And the demand for a one-of-a-kind tour experience is just so high right now, and it's hard to see how it comes down. I mean, as long as the crowds keep on coming, the ticket prices will remain high or even get higher. And when you add the fees into the equation, I can see why you're so turned off by the prospect of seeing Jesus in concert.
Well, you know that. I mean, of course, if the tickets are expensive and people are paying it, they're not going to voluntarily go, well, I think I'll make them cheaper now, right? So, I mean, that's a really good point. Let's go to Jeff in Superior. Jeff is with us now. Hi, Jeff. Thanks for calling.
Hi, good afternoon. In the past 20 years, my favorite thing to do is go to the Breeders' Cup. It's actually coming to Santa Anita the first weekend in November. And you can go to horse racing. There are quite a few venues in the United States where often you can get in for free or $3, $4, $5. They give you a program, and you can win more money than you arrived with. I went to New York 5 years ago, and I won $3,000.
Well, I mean, that's something. So, I mean, there are some definitely affordable things, right? I mean, what do you think?
Jeff, that's a good point. And it's actually interesting to me that you point out an activity that's centered on gambling, because if you look at in other parts of Disney's business, for example, they just announced a few months ago that ESPN, which is generally understood to be, the TV, the sports network that Disney owns, and is generally understood to be in decline as more people cancel every year their cable TV packages, they've just recently announced they're making a big investment in online sports betting and partnering with a sports book called Penn Entertainment to sort of draw in more fans, especially younger male fans, who have come to see sports betting as an essential part of the sports viewing experience. So it's interesting to me that one of the things you like to do is go to a horse racing event and bet on the ponies there. And it's a good point. If you think about Vegas, when you go and you win a lot at the craps table, and you might get a coupon all of a sudden to go see Celine Dion that night for free or whatever it is. Whatever it is to keep you there spending money, whatever it takes to keep you there spending money on betting and making wagers, that is one of the strategies that media and entertainment companies have adopted, really in full force in the last couple of years to kind of offset the numbers of consumers that they're seeing who are scared off by high prices.
Yeah. Sullivan called from Green Bay. Hi, Sullivan. Thanks for phoning in.
Hi. So, yeah, within the last year or two, I've actually gotten into a LARP event, like live action role playing. And there have been a couple events in the nation that have just started popping up within the last two or three years that have been really affordable, for entry level stuff, on top of other things that are not nearly as great of value.
It's interesting. Some there is some affordable stuff out there. And I want to bring up a couple of comments that some people left for us on Facebook. Jacqueline on Facebook.
Shereen, could I ask real quick if I could interject?
Oh, yeah.
If the caller's still on the line, what kind of LARPing events are we talking about? What sort of, is it Star Wars LARPing? Is it Renaissance Fair stuff?
Yeah, so this is more like medieval Lord of the Rings, very, very low magic fantasy, or like Game of Thrones type stuff.
Got it. Yeah, no, I mean, I that's a really interesting point as well. I mean, I think a lot of people kind of when they're seeking live entertainment, one affordable option is to entertain yourself. And, you know, whether that's getting together with friends to play music and have a jam session versus what you're doing and live action role playing. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is pretty cool. Thanks for calling, Sullivan. I appreciate that and bringing that up. Jacqueline on Facebook made me laugh, wrote, I can't even afford a vacation to McDonald's Playland. David on Facebook agreed. He said it's been too expensive. I think a lot of people can relate to that. I mean, in the last minute that we have together, are we seeing rising prices even on activities that used to be considered affordable?
We definitely are. I spoke to the CEO of the San Diego Zoo and Wildlife Park, which is, you know, one of the more famous zoos in the country. It's also a nonprofit. And even there, we're seeing a steady creep up in ticket prices. And one interesting thing that he told me was that in the face of rising prices, what they're noticing is more people becoming members of the park, which is to say, sort of more closely tying their identities and speaking for more of their free recreation time by going to the same place over and over again, which I think is a trend we're going to see a lot of in the future. You know, if there's something you'd like to do, it's try to find a way to get an annual pass or a membership. But yeah, it's definitely true that even something like a nonprofit zoo is seeing the effects of this increased demand.
Robbie, I want to thank you so much for joining us today and talking about this with us.
Thank you very much, Shereen. It was a pleasure.
That's Robbie Whelan, Wall Street Journal reporter who covers the Walt Disney Company and the business of Hollywood. We've been talking about the rising costs of entertainment and how Americans have been responding to this so-called funflation.